Thank you. You know, it's a wonderful thing, my friend, to know him. We've been dealing with that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And again, I'd like you to turn with me to the work of the Spirit of God in our redemption. And I'm reading from verses 13 and 14 of that first chapter. Will you read it with me, please? In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, unbelieving, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And we were saying yesterday, with respect to this wonderful fact of the Spirit of God sealing us in Christ. Where are we? We are sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit because we are his purchased possession. As I was speaking yesterday of this, that we are in the will call department. It's a wonderful thing that God chose us and the Son redeemed us. He paid for us and the Spirit of God sealed. And again, may I remind you, whom does he seal? Those who put their trust in Christ. Those who have a definite belief in the Son of God. A personal matter between you and the Savior. You remember the book of John, chapter 1, says, verse 12, to as many as received him. What I'm after here is it's a transaction between you and the Son of God. And these, dear Ephesian believers, they heard the word of the good news concerning their salvation. They believed the word, and when they believed, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you know, this is the work of the Spirit of God. I wonder if I could put it this way. There are four definite things that God does to the man or the woman who puts their trust in the Savior. That is, four definite things concerning the work of the Spirit. For example, everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is born of the Spirit. Now, that speaks of relationship. You have it in Romans 8, 14 to 17. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Or take the verse we quoted a moment ago. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but who are born of God. That's what our Lord meant in John 3, 5, when he said, except a man be born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, that's the first thing. That means relationship, members of his family. And the second thing the Spirit of God does, we are indwelt by the Spirit. That means that these bodies become the temples of God. Why? That we might show forth something of the character of God. You remember you have this in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. He speaks of the Spirit of God who was with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What for? That you might reveal the Father, even as I have. In other words, the Christian becomes God's channel to express his character and his love to men. And then the third thing that the Spirit of God does the moment we're Christians, he baptizes us into the body of Christ. And this speaks of union with Christ. You remember in 1 Corinthians 12:13 we read, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, and have all been made to drink of that selfsame Spirit. I think if I might intimate that in John chapter 7, 37 to 39, that last great day of the feast, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And one could go on the ministry of the Spirit of God. Suffice to say that God does four definite things the moment a person accepts the Savior, with respect to the Spirit of God. He's born of the Spirit, that's relationship. He's indwelt by the Spirit, we become God's channels of expression. We're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and that speaks of our union with Christ, speaks of our preservation. Now the fourth one is this one here in Ephesians 1. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the foretaste of our inheritance. You remember in Ephesians 4:30, we read, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption." That's for how long we're sealed. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, we were sealed. Now, this is the only three times you have it in the New Testament, just these three places, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, 2 Corinthians 1:22, where this question of the Spirit of God seals the believer. One could take the first verse of the book of Jude, where he says, "We're preserved in Christ Jesus." Preserved. You see, that indicates a finished transaction. When you seal something, it's the thing's finished. It indicates ownership. That's what it says here. It's the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. We're sealed until the day of redemption. It indicates ownership. We belong to Him. It indicates identification or distinction. That is, we're marked out as the sons of God, just as our Savior was marked out as the Son of God by His Spirit. So the believer has been marked out from all others by the Spirit of God. And if I were going to that verse, that first verse of Jude, I'd speak about the question of preservation. It prevents outside forces coming in to spoil the one who belongs to Him. And please mark where we are sealed. We are sealed in Christ. Chosen in Christ, placed in Christ, preserved in Christ. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 1:34, "Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." In chapter 1:4 of Ephesians here, we are chosen in Christ. Jude 1 says we're preserved in Christ. And what better place can you be, my friend, but to be in Christ? This means life. And by the way, for how long are we sealed? It says here, in chapter 4, verse 30, "We are sealed until the day of redemption." Well, what day is that? I thought we were already redeemed. Yes, but he's talking about the completion of our redemption. In Romans chapter 8, you remember, from verses 18 to 25, we are saved by hope. And he talks there in those verses about the redemption of the body. You see, I'm saved. I'm a three-part man. I have a spirit. I have a soul. I have a body. My body is not yet redeemed. Mitchell's redeemed. But my body hasn't experienced that redemption. But it will be. And as that passage in Romans 8 declares, the very creation and the very creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, when these bodies will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. My friend, it's a wonderful thing. We've been redeemed and we've been sealed until the day of redemption. Not until the day we backslide, but until the day of redemption. It's what Paul means in 2 Timothy 1:12. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to guard the deposit until that day." What day? The day when I stand in His presence conformed to the image of His Son. As I said yesterday, all these last few lessons in chapter 1 of Ephesians, where we're brought into the purpose of God, and He works all things out after the counsel of His own will. And none can say to God, "What are you doing?" God picks you and me up, my friend. He either breaks us or He transforms us. He either judges us or He saves us. When He saves you, He saves you with an everlasting salvation. He makes the thing sure by sealing us by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And by the way, this is what Peter means in 1 Peter 1:4, of a salvation yet to be revealed. And you have it in Romans 13:11. It's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. He's talking here about, of course, the completion of our inheritance. And the Spirit is given to us as the earnest or the guarantee of that completion. You see, the earnest is the same as the inheritance. And Christ in glory guarantees our access, and the Spirit of God in us guarantees the finished work. It's all to the praise of His glory, as you have it in verse 14. We have it. Just go back a little bit. In verse 6, the Father's work to the praise of the glory of His grace. The Son's work, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And in verse 14, the work of the Spirit unto the praise of His glory. You ever think of it? It's all to the praise of His glory. I come back to what I said the other day. The ultimate purpose of all redemption is the glory of God. Don't you think, my Christian friend, if you mean so much to God that the Father has a part in it and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has a part in it and the Spirit of God has a part in it, isn't it wonderful that the whole Godhead is for you, with you, in you, and guarantees that one of these days you and I shall stand in His presence, not only conformed to the image of His Son, to be just like Jesus, but to know that through eternity we're going to bring eternal praise to Him. Why does He do it? That we might be to the praise of His glory. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I lived today just for the praise of His glory? Instead of living for self, instead of living for mere material gain, instead of living for the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind, why not live today for the praise of His glory? Just to live today for Jesus? Oh, that we might glorify Him in our actions, in our words, in our very attitudes. Do you know I'm talking to Christians this morning who need this? You've been living for yourself. You've been living for your own pleasure. And for some reason or other, you've become so occupied with yourself that you've made yourself miserable and everybody else miserable. Now, why don't you live for the Savior? And you live for His praise today. Be for the praise of the glory of His grace today. And you'll not only be happy yourself, you'll make everybody around you happy. You'll be a different person. Live for Him today. And the Lord wonderfully bless you. Read those first 14 verses. The work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit in our redemption. And the Lord wonderfully bless you today for His name's sake.